Mr. Herman.
Poop again!
Party on, dude!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
Like, it was a pain in the ass just to get to my personal email.
Mm.
And I shouldn't say a pain in the ass, just like two extra steps.
Make a Gmail, bro.
Make a Gmail, bro.
That's what
that commercial for Gmail.
you're getting a Dell.
Dude, you're getting a Dell. Make a Gmail. Make Gmail,
make
bro.
Make a Gmail, bro. Are you tired of all of every single one of your emails being the same place? Make a Gmail, bro.
Make a Gmail, bro. Are you sick of all the ads for penis popping pills, bro?
It's all based on an algorithm, bro. They send you based on the visits.
The websites you visit.
Visits, bro. Dude, you're getting a Dell.
Dude, make a Gmail, bro.
Make a Gmail, bro.
This episode of the Radcast is sponsored by Gmail. If we had that Google money,
oh baby, wouldn't have to do this stupid podcast.
Whoa, baby! There's the Full House reference.
Hey, it could have come naturally.
Yeah, it's true. That did come naturally.
Nope. Anyway, welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
Thank you all for listening to what ended up being a talk about
the movie,
quote unquote, movie Thunder in Paradise.
Yes.
It started out, if you listened, of course, it started out, we're going to be a ramble. We're just kind of shooting from the heart, shooting from the hip. And then Matt was like, but I do have Thunder in Paradise notes if we'd like to go over them.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, shoot. And
out of context, but we provided some context.
Yeah. But either way. With all the talk about transparency and whatever the ramble was, it still would have been a solid half hour episode.
Yeah,
so
of course
it still was good. Still was a good time. And we're back at you with kind of, I wouldn't even say Thunder in Paradise was obscure, but kind of an obscurity.
Yeah.
Not so much obscure to Matt and I based upon kind of what our interests are as far as like certain documentaries go,
because human interest kind of stuff.
We love documentaries, but we really gravitate towards kind of the oddball stuff.
Yeah,
in a
real
way.
Kind of, I guess all documentaries in a way are independent, but things that are like kind of off the beaten path.
Yeah, things that, you know, they may not win an Academy Award, but like,
or even sniff the Academy Awards.
But the subjects of these documentaries are fascinating.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that here in just a second. It's a documentary called Confessions of a Superhero.
Yeah. I don't even remember how we found it.
I think it was on Netflix
in
like 2013, 2014, when Netflix used to have like the, like kind of more of like, B action movies and B horror movies and like obscure documentaries, things that you can find on an Amazon Prime or on a Pluto TV or
Tubi.
So things that
Tubi or not Tubi,
exactly. Even on YouTube, you can't find this, but you can find some of the stuff that we would find on the 2013
Heart of the King,
Heart of the King, the 2013-2014 version of the streaming Netflix.
Yeah.
It's called
the Netflix I prefer.
The Netflix that when you started a subscription on Netflix, that's why you did.
Yeah, for kind of the weird stuff.
Yeah, and it was full of weird stuff. Now you can't not find those things anymore. Again, the Tubis, the Voodoos, Hulus,
the Moo Moos,
the Moo Moos,
the Hoo Moos, the Voo Voos,
the Boo Boos. any streaming service of your choice, you can find these all except Netflix.
Man, they got that documentary on Voo Voo.
Well, I watched it on Boo Boo.
I watched it on Boo Boo.
That's not a reference to anything.
No.
It's fucking ridiculous. Yep. That's what it is. That's what we peddle around here. Yeah, absurdity.
Exactly.
Buffoonery.
Obscurity.
Explicit content. Not for language, but for maximum buffoonery.
Not titties, but buffooneries.
Yes. Exactly. Also, this movie was rated R, but there's a lack of titties.
Where are the tits?
I didn't even know it was rated R, mainly because...
Is it?
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense now. Do they say the fuck word in it? I can't remember.
No.
There is a pathological liar who talks about murdering someone, even though he definitely did not murder someone.
There is, but that's totally PG-13.
Totally PG-13.
We don't see him murdering anybody because it didn't happen. Right. But also, we don't see him pretend murdering people.
Pretend murder. Because he also didn't get any movie roles.
Exactly. We are going to get into, four main people that this documentary showcases. We'll get into the nuts and bolts in here in just a second, but Matt... Why don't you let everyone know, if they're still listening, where they can always
find us.
You can
find us on Boo Boo.
You can find us on Bebo.
Bebo, MySpace.
Zanga.
Zanga. No, you can find us on Instagram. We're at The Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K. Cast is spelled with a K. Excuse me.
Yes.
Radcast is all one word. Mm-hmm. I have recently rejoined Twitter on my personal account and have kicked around the idea of starting a Radcast Twitter back up just as another means to promote. Mm-hmm. But right now we're just on Instagram. You can find us on all your major podcast apps of choice, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all of them. Wherever you can, please rate and review. Please give us 5 stars. It really helps us out. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
Yes, thank you, everybody. So we have teased it a couple times here. Mm-hmm. And there's also a significance to this documentary. If you listen to us, there's a reference that we've made throughout various episodes. Yes. It's not anything. It's just the way we say a certain actor's name that we'll get into where that it comes from this.
Yes.
And some of you may be scratching your head wondering what the hell are we talking about. Yeah. And that's just
maybe
because,
your first time ever listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't represent that often either. Yeah, it's not like you can be like, oh yeah.
It's just if something's in the same cadence or rhythm, then we'll say it like that. But we'll get into that. But the documentary is called Confessions of a Superhero. Mm-hmm. It was released November 2nd, 2007, but it chronicles a 2-year period of time, like 2005, 2006.
Because it references Christopher Reeve's death, which was 2005?
2004.
We just covered it at some point.
Directed by Matthew Oggins, and starring real people, the late Christopher Dennis, Maxwell Allen, Jennifer Wanger, Van Dien. She's married to B-movie legend Casper Van Dien.
Starship Troopers,
many other things.
Yeah.
And Joseph McQueen, and featuring all their husbands and wives and significant others. Matt, what is this documentary?
So essentially, how to describe this? So on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, it's in front of Man's Chinese Theater, Grom's Chinese Theater. Yeah. It's the Chinese Theater that's over there. Mm-hmm. On a short stretch of the Hollywood Walk of Fame, there are individuals who are dressed as comic book heroes, movie characters, and basically
various IPs,
various intellectual properties. Yeah. And they take pictures with tourists. They're there as unofficial representatives of Hollywood Boulevard. No one asked for this.
Exactly. They're not under contract for the theater.
No, exactly. They're completely there under their own volition.
No one asked for this. It's true.
But it's true.
It's true. They're quote-unquote self-employed, but it's like they're kind of imposing on everything.
A lot of them are aspiring actors.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot of people who either went out to Hollywood to be an actor, or they were essentially, for some of them, homeless in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and they saw, oh, I can make money doing this, even though the wide range of money you can make depends on the day.
Yeah.
So essentially, they take pictures with tourists, and they don't require you give them tips. It's one of those things now, we do work on tips sort of thing, but they don't have to tip you.
Mm-hmm.
However, some of the attitudes differ on that. We have people in this movie who, at least one guy in this movie, who is very aggressive about you tipping.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people who are like, oh, well, you know, sure, it's nice, but they don't have to do it sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's this documentary and there's another documentary that highlights more people.
It's called The Reenactors.
Yeah, but... Mm-hmm. This one is like the main one that highlights four main people.
Yeah.
And essentially, this is what this movie is about, is highlighting these four characters on Hollywood Walk of Fame, who the attitudes of the people who, like, the police are more often than not okay with them, as long as they don't
cause any trouble,
and they don't. There's a certain line between private property and public property on the sidewalk.
And then there is this honorary mayor of Hollywood that thinks they're panhandlers and need to get kicked out of there. Essentially, like, they're just ne'er-do-wells, and there's no reason for them to be there. Whether people like it or not, they're part of the culture of the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Mm-hmm. And essentially, this documentary highlights these four people, and it's intertwined with their work on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and their personal lives.
Yeah, and they're the most prominent example of who tries to profit off of tourists, who tries to profit off of the presence of Hollywood, the presence of actors and actresses.
Right.
There are people who sell maps to stars' homes, or people who sell various things. They try and ply some sort of trade on the Walk of Fame. It seems like it's a very congested area.
Hollywood is often referred to as the land of the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, but then like the Land of Dreams, stuff like that. Yeah. Just this. There's this allure and this quote-unquote magic people feel about Hollywood.
But the thing is, with the nature, like we follow four people who I just named. Christopher Dennis, who's Superman.
Yeah.
Who he's the most famous out of all of them.
Yeah. Well, like legit famous. Because he bears a passing resemblance, a peripheral resemblance
to Christopher Reeve. He also, though, was around this time... they were kind of employed, at least Christopher Dennis being the main one, but then you had some people like Maxwell Allen, who we'll get to.
Batman Allen.
I'm going to say who he is. Batman.
Well, you got to give the full introduction because he refers to himself as Maxwell Batman Allen,
who we are going to talk about.
Yeah.
Jennifer Wanger, who is Wonder Woman,
and
Joseph McQueen, who's the Hulk. Joseph McQueen's the most likable person in this.
He's the best. I love Joseph.
Joseph McQueen is great, and what it kind of shows between the four people is two of them, Christopher Dennis and Maxwell Allen, who are delusional.
Completely.
And then Jennifer Wanger and Joseph McQueen, who actually, they're shown to be working, you know, actors who go to acting class
are actively trying.
You know, Joseph McQueen, we're not spoiling anything. No. Joseph McQueen, and later in the documentary, it shows he got a part in an independent movie.
Which means he's going to auditions.
Yeah. He talks about, he's like, I go to auditions often. Jennifer Wanger, like she goes, it shows her going to her agent and her acting classes and talking about, I got this many views on my profile.
We
see her in an audition.
She's putting in the grunt work.
They're putting in the work and with the reason that they're there. But Maxwell Allen, Christopher Dennis, are trying to use this opportunity that they have, this spotlight on them with the documentary film crew or the Jimmy Kimmel Show. And essentially, Maxwell Allen is a pathological liar.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Christopher Dennis,
I think you have a list of all his lies.
Oh, yeah. Like, Christopher Dennis is a storyteller.
Yeah.
I don't know what's a lie, what's truth. I'm going to say he's also a liar.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're trying to paint this picture of their lives. I have a camera in front of me.
Yeah.
So maybe someone's going to watch this documentary and see how good of an actor or a storyteller I am, or all these crazy things about my life. And they're going to cast me in something. Or Maxwell Allen, he has a job later in the documentary as a security guard. And he's like, you never know. They may see me on the set and be like, why don't we use him?
Yeah, that's the attitude of both of them.
Yeah.
Is because Maxwell Allen, again, like Christopher Dennis, has a peripheral resemblance to George Clooney.
Yeah, and it's one of those, but they both lean into, you know, they pretty much are saying,
it'll just happen to me.
Yeah, or I've lost parts because they look like too much like Clooney. I was like, I wonder what the lighting looked like
room. But then later, he's like, hopefully I'll get parts because I look like George Clooney.
Yeah, but then Christopher Dennis, I think a lot of this goes to his head because he has a lot of recognition because of Jimmy Kimmel and because of so many foreign magazines.
Jimmy Kimmel has employed these people at times.
But the thing is, I really feel like it's a joke to Jimmy Kimmel. At least 2005 Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
They're
there
as a joke. They're not there like because he respects them. They're there as a joke. But the thing is, Christopher Dennis has the same idea. You know, you never know if a director or producer or an actor is walking down the street and this tall tale I'm telling or these stories I'm telling, facts I'm giving about Batman, the gusto that I tell all this in, they could be like,
you've got something. But neither one of them.
They don't put in any work.
They don't put in any work. They don't go to acting classes. They don't give off the impression they have agents. They're just getting by on the fact that, A, I kind of look like this person.
Mm-hmm.
B, I have this notoriety,
yep,
in the case of Christopher Dennis. Or C,
I've
watched a lot of movies. And you can tell someone like Maxwell Allen thinks he knows about Taekwondo and martial arts by watching a lot of movies.
But the B-roll suggests differently.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, but the footage suggests differently. We'll let's try and go some semblance of an order here. But since it's a documentary, there's a loose narrative thread.
Yeah.
But it opens up, and I'm this, of course, it's also not going to be, it opens up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then we go to, but there are a few quotes that are indicative of kind of I wouldn't say problem,
right,
or a human condition here. And that's Hollywood is where dreams go to live and dreams go to die. Everyone and their mother goes out for that lead role. And that's Christopher Dennis. And that's why a lot of these people that we see on the Hollywood Walk of Fame do this. They want to get some sort of sniff of Hollywood.
Sure.
You know, but the thing is, I'd say the people who you don't see, the waiters and waitresses, mm-hmm, people who work at hotels, like people working civilian jobs who are doing the grunt work, we just see, you know, the Joseph McQueens and the Jennifer Wangers are among them because we see them doing it. This is just the job they're choosing while
they're going to auditions.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, since there's no parameters, there's no like agreement on who can do what.
Yeah.
Anybody can show up one day
with
a shitty costume on and say, well, I'm this. And we see more of it.
We see
more of it in the reenactors.
Yeah.
There's literally an old guy just wearing a diaper and a space helmet.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, there's no character. There's some people who make up their own characters, and it's like nobody's gonna want to get a picture with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way that something like that, then maybe I'm wrong, obviously, because they're making money somehow, and some of these people, you know, and I don't want to.
Well,
veer
and there's
too...
a lot of people that are coming in from out of the country.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Like Chewbacca with a T-shirt on isn't necessarily
that's Hollywood.
Elmo with a T-shirt on.
Yeah,
no, it's just a blank T-shirt. I was like, I don't know. Do we see footage of them getting people having pictures taken? But you see, you know, Fiona from Shrek. You have like 5 different Spider-Mans. You have like 3
Supermen. 10 different Jack Sparrows.
10 different Jack Sparrows.
You know, 1 Superman. Because in the reenactors, because Christopher Dennis is in that one too.
Yeah. So is Maxwell Allen.
And we're not talking about that one, but we find out that basically he goes out of his way to ruin the costumes of the other Supermen that try to be on the Walk
That's
of Fame.
That's the thing too. Because Christopher Dennis, and this and by a lot of people who like experienced him on the Walk of Fame is seen as this beacon and this pillar of morality who represents Superman so well, and he's so kind to people and he's not pushy at all.
That was an asshole.
That's the thing though, and I won't speak too ill of the dead because he passed away in 2019. Unfortunately, as we see in the movie, he has a fiance, he has a home. He seems to have it all together because he says that his drug addiction was in the past.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a few years after this movie was made, he was off and on the street.
Yeah.
He was homeless, essentially. He had divorced from his wife.
Yeah.
And he was addicted to crystal meth.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately happens, and it's a lot of people. The story of some of these people on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
They could take their costume off and go behind an alley to sleep.
Yeah.
But,
or under a bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who experienced him on the Walk of Fame, like quote unquote working, like they worked with him, said he was an asshole.
Yeah.
He was somebody who, would go out of his way to ruin the costumes of other Supermen. And then also there's a moment in the reenactors. And again, we'll try not to veer too much into that. If you want us to talk about that documentary, it has a little harder of an edge than this one does.
It doesn't feel as professional.
It talks to more people who really are like haggard and kind of surly.
Probably still homeless.
Yeah, who really are like, they've hit the skids bad and this is the way they're trying to make money.
You get more kind
reason.
Of liars in that one too.
Oh yeah. But there's a moment in the reenactors to where there's this black gentleman talking, and he's calling Christopher Dennis out, like in a talking head, and said he's done it before.
Yeah, yeah.
And Christopher Dennis, quoting him, says he says something very racially insensitive.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought you were supposed to be like this beacon of like you representing.
He's just
Superman.
Quoting Superman.
Yeah, you're right. It must have been Quest for Peace.
Yeah.
Everybody, that sequel is panned so much that it's probably he probably got pissed off so much.
Right. But back to this.
Yeah. And then there's another quote. But essentially, that's a lot of people in Hollywood. Yeah. They go to try to make these dreams come true, but there's this seedy underbelly that makes up a lot. That's why California, Los Angeles has a terrible homeless population. Yeah. Not saying everybody who's homeless out there went out there to be an actor or an actress.
No.
But it's one of these things where there's this glitzy sheen on everything, this glamour, but there's this underbelly of like, and this undertone of like, this is what California and Los Angeles really is.
Yeah.
And then there's another one from Jennifer Wanger, and this kind of gives us a peek into like her mindset coming from a small town, and the mindset of a lot of people with this hero worship of actors and actors is Hollywood. It's sure a doctor saves lives, but is he remembered? Everybody knows Marilyn Monroe. Everyone knows Elvis Presley. You're remembered out here.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people
wanting some sort of important.
Yeah. They want some sort of lasting mark.
Sure.
Some sort of imprint, some sort of lasting legacy, which is a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of people who are trying to fill some sort of void and thinking that if they become rich and famous.
Yeah.
That's going to fill it.
Yeah, well, and they're sacrificing their character, too. They're the same people that say no press is bad press or no publicity is bad publicity. It's like, it's about the name recognition. It's about the notoriety, like you said. And that was, for the most part, I like her in this.
No, I do, too.
But that was a very off-putting quote.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, doctor saves lives, but do you remember them? It's like, that's just very... Of course you do.
Yeah.
Like the important people remember them. And also they have a higher calling than just being remembered.
Yeah.
It's like, so you just want to be remembered regardless of what you did. It's like, well, at least I was remembered. It's like, that's what's important
but
to
like,
you.
And she picked two people who died of drug overdoses.
Yeah.
Two people who were very tortured human beings.
Yeah.
But
they were remembered.
They were remembered, and they are two of the biggest, you know, especially when pop culture really started in the 20th century, they're the two biggest figureheads.
Yeah.
So, of course, those are going to be people to aspire to be because they have this beautiful, beautiful people who have this beautiful life and make loads of cash, but died really young. Died in sad ways and were very sad people.
Yeah. Much like Christopher Dennis, Maxwell Allen loses himself in the identity of Batman. So much so, it's not... So Christopher Dennis hoards Superman memorabilia.
Oh, yeah. Not just comic book memorabilia.
Yeah. And
mainly Superman,
granted,
of course.
As a fan of comic books, it looks cool.
It's cool.
But also,
it is
a small apartment to where you can barely move around.
Yeah.
And, you know, Maxwell Allen's not to that degree, but again, the delusion in losing himself in the whole Batman character.
Mm-hmm. So Maxwell Allen, you wrote blurbs for everybody a little bit. I know we talked a little about Christopher Dennis, and we'll sprinkle more in there.
He'll
but
get
just
back.
I don't know if you what you wrote down as far as like a character profile for Christopher
Dennis. Full of shit, supposedly was a bodyguard for some crime boss.
Oh, sorry, Christopher Dennis, not Maxwell Allen.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So I wrote passing resemblance to Christopher Reeve, claims actress Sandy Dennis was his mom.
Yeah, out of towners.
Yeah,
who we talked about. Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon's son.
I think so.
Yeah, he was in Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah.
Jack Lemon was in the Out of Towners with Sandy Dennis.
Yeah, her actual family says that they've talked to Christopher Dennis before, but his stories vary wildly whenever they talk to him, and they're like, there's no way she would have had a kid and we didn't know about
her. Her niece is one of the people on there. And she's like, I was very close to my aunt.
Yeah.
Like she was very private, but that's something she would have told us.
Yeah. I just had a small blurb about we'll get to the Superman celebration in Metropolis, Illinois, which Metropolis, Illinois is a joke in and of itself anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His soon-to-be wife looks very... It's just kind of like, oh, I wrote he's a star fucker without actually fucking any stars.
Yeah.
So it's a very... It's not a very flattering way to describe usually a woman who appears to just get off on the fact that she has sex with celebrities.
Right.
And he doesn't have sex with celebrities.
No.
But he is very much like, I will do whatever I can to get a celebrity autograph or picture or something. Yeah. His cape is signed by so many people.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's in the reenactors. But still, he has things that he goes out of his way to inconvenience other people in order to... He really embraces the celebrity lifestyle.
Yeah. And the example they show.
Oh,
let's
get
an example they show. Yeah. So if you were to Google Christopher Dennis... make sure safe search is on. No, I'm just kidding.
Promise you there's nothing
crazy.
I'm just being stupid.
There's nothing bad, but like nude or anything
like that. You're going to see him maybe from around this time. You're going to see him from magazines and from Jimmy Kimmel. And from later things that have documented him. But you'll also see him getting things signed by celebrities.
Yeah.
Mainly his suit.
Yeah.
But one thing that he...
Sign me!
Yeah. But the example they show in this movie is there is a premiere of some sort. There's a red carpet event, and you see limos showing up, there's all this fanfare, paparazzi.
Oh, no, it's this actor getting their star
getting their
on the
star
Walk of Fame.
Walk of Fame. Yeah. And it's Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Yes. And if you've listened to us for a while, and... I don't even know what episodes.
Yeah.
But there have been several episodes where Matt and I will just all of a sudden break into Antonio!
Antonio!
Melanie!
And Tony Banderas.
And Tony Banderas.
That's from this.
Yes.
And
surprise.
Yes.
surprised.
It's incredibly obscure. Mm-hmm. And Matt and I only know that reference. Unless you're listening and you've seen the movie and you recognize it. So what happens is they show Christopher Dennis. He's like, excuse me. Like he's pushing.
Make way.
He's pushing
just
through
being
people.
A total Nimrod.
Yeah. And he has like, I think Desperado. He has his two copies of Desperado or he's like a 8x10.
Yeah.
Not his. But
sign this, Antonio.
And this one's for Melanie. Use it tonight.
A young Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, young Dakota Johnson is in there. But he's like, Antonio, please. Plus, anyway, that's kind of, I don't want to say pathetic because it demeans people who actually do that. But
his behavior is that of a child meeting someone in an airport.
Yeah.
Like, but he's pushing, he's older than 40 in this, and he's dressed like Superman.
Yeah. There's also another moment where someone's dressed as their character in an inappropriate
place. Yes. There's a desperation to him that is not becoming of someone who's a grown adult.
Yeah. It's not just him, the way he's like, Antonio, please. I've heard people who are like, so-and-so, please sign this. So-and-so, please. And I'm just like,
you're probably going to go sell that on eBay later.
Exactly. Anyway, he's like, Antonio,
calm
please.
Down.
And we see Antonio Banderas sign his stuff. And then the next shot is him. He's like, oh, and
Antonio Banderas. And Antonio Banderas.
He's like, we got it. And he had two things
so
signed.
Smug.
It's the way he said it.
Yeah.
So like I said earlier in the episode, anytime Matt and I say something with the cadence and rhythm that sounds like
Antonio
or somebody's name or one of them was the, I think it was the Sucktastic Monster Squad episode.
Uh-huh.
The VHS open I used wasn't for Monster Squad.
Yeah.
It was something else that it had Antonio Banderas
in
there. But anyway, that's what it's from.
Yeah.
Side tangent. If you're new to this, you're probably completely confused. Please don't turn this off.
And if you're new to this, just, you know, we have ADHD.
Yeah,
so that's kind of our brains ping pong all over the
and
place.
And the worst part of it is it's unmedicated.
Yes.
So
probably should get that taken care of.
Yeah, probably. Good night.
Anywho.
So that's Christopher Dennis. He'll show up more in this episode. But Maxwell Allen, let's hit on him really quickly because I know he likes to hit on other people, like physically.
Mm-hmm.
Or he so he says.
Yeah, so Maxwell Allen is, again, sort of looks like George Clooney.
Yeah.
In the past, got a few, I think he got a few, like, stand-in roles. At the very, I don't think, actually, no, I'm thinking of he got a few jobs.
Like an impersonator as his character from ER.
Yeah,
or
and
Batman.
This guy, the running theme is he has an anger issue. That's all anyone talks about is his anger. That's the one constant.
Yeah.
But he will tell you that he, in his brain, he worked for crime bosses. He fought in gladiatorial events.
I got something to say about that.
Like he's just these stories that. You sit back and Joe McQueen mentions this. He's like, dude, you've been watching too many movies.
Exactly. Joe McQueen gives a very real, like, you know, he talks about this dark past. He's like, until I see people to, like, corroborate this, until I see some stuff from this dark past, I'm just not believing it. And he's like, and then some stuff he says, I'm like, dude, you've been watching too many movies.
Yeah. He talks about these different martial arts disciplines that he has black belts in, but you see him in a martial arts class, but it's clearly a beginner's martial arts class in which he is struggling.
He's being corrected by his teacher so many times. Like when we see the extent of his martial arts ability, it's this like routine he's doing from the camera. It's in his apartment and his wife's kind of sitting in the dining room watching. Yeah. His wife seems like a sweet woman.
Sweet lady. Is on disability. She never says what
it is.
And I'm not going to question it
at
all.
Exactly.
But it's just, she just sits and you can tell she thinks the world of him and admires him.
She's
and
like,
stuff like that.
He has a temper. He's a short fuse, but he's a teddy bear. I see him as a teddy bear. And I'm like, okay, like,
I've always gotten the impression while watching this that he's just with her because he couldn't get anyone else.
That's fair.
Because he's very off-putting.
And the reenactors, when he shows up, he's like, you know, his women, you know, women, you suck. Like, you know,
I married her because, believe me, I've had the tens and you suck. Tens as in like the subjective rating of a woman as a 10 or a man as a 10.
Or objective. I don't think there's anything subjective
about
that.
Yeah, it's like, they're very much objectifying these women. And to which I call bullshit on that, too, because I don't doubt that he's probably tried to pursue women who were, quote-unquote, 10s, but he probably, I'm sure he's been maced a few times because he's just is creepy.
Yeah. Probably overly aggressive, much like he's overly aggressive at asking for tips.
Yeah, so he probably just married the first woman that didn't mace him.
Yeah, it's true.
And this poor woman just wants love and affection and stuff like that.
If you all want us to talk, if you're listening to this now and you are interested in hearing about some of the other documentaries that we've watched over the years, The Reenactors, Heart of the King.
Yeah, I think
We're Alone Now, which is a wild one.
Which is about obsessive super fans of Tiffany, the 80s pop star.
Yeah, and then the other one is, what's the other one?
Just About Famous.
Just About Famous. So there's several that we've watched. There's another Elvis one that I wish. I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
But...
Gone.
Yeah. Well, we can talk more about some other things he said.
Yeah.
And other things she said, because there's a really wild way she asked for a husband. But if you want us to talk about reenactors, we'll talk about it then.
Yeah.
But back to Maxwell Allen, when we see him in his apartment and see his wife for the first time, he's doing this martial arts routine for the camera that's reminiscent of a kid who thinks they know karate because they watch a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah.
And he says he's a black belt in taekwondo and studied ninjutsu for a bit.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Tiger kung fu. Yeah.
If you're very vague about that, it's probably a lie.
Yeah.
If
you talk about it,
brag
about it, which he's very doing, like anyone who practices, I'm not saying anyone, but we've been friends with people who have practiced martial arts, and they're like, it's usually the people that don't talk about it that are the ones that are like badasses.
Yeah.
Like if you're bragging about it, you're probably not as good as you say you are.
Yeah. And the big thing about him, the constant, is like you said, the anger problem.
Yeah.
And the troubled childhood.
That is one thing that is corroborated, is he has an anger problem.
The thing is, through all the bullshit he spews, through the lens of an anger problem, a troubled childhood. I do believe he had a troubled childhood.
Sure.
That birthed his anger problem. I believe he had a troubled home life.
Yeah,
like, I believe
agreed.
All that.
And he probably lost himself in movies. Like, that was probably his escape.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably watched a lot of martial arts movies and action movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he made up these scenarios to justify his anger, make himself sound more badass. Because at one point he's like, I'm just like, they're just bad people out there, and I guess I'm just signing up for the job.
I'm just, you know, they just, and some people just need to be beat, and I'm just volunteering for the job.
Yeah,
some people are dumb as dogs.
Yeah,
he's from Texas.
Yeah,
so like you said, mobster employed.
Yeah.
He tells the story of he was employed by a rich guy. He was the guy's bodyguard. He's like, with names that are very Italian, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And through being a bodyguard, he learned these martial arts. He was a boxer for this Italian guy.
Yeah.
So we're led to believe he probably was asked to maybe intentionally throw fights or to do dirty things.
His timeline's off, too.
No,
it's all over the place.
He was a stock car driver for this Italian mobster. and the mob stars.
They face
the Looney Tunes.
the mob stars.
And he became the driver. So probably the driver for either like a limo driver or the driver to get out of theft situations.
Yeah. All vague things you see in movies.
Yeah. And he was this Italian mobster in Texas. And he's like, I made him money in the boxing ring. We were gladiators. That's when the movie Gladiator came out.
Which was 99.
That was 99. Because I was like, you said you moved to California in the late 80s, but employed by a Texas Italian when Gladiator came out in 1999.
Yeah.
Also, by that time, he was married to his wife already.
Right.
And then he's like, he claims to have roughed people up, and wife knows of shady past. But he's like, she's like, Maxwell never divulges any of that. And I'm like, okay. And, he visits a therapist in this movie.
Yes, dressed
to where we learn some of these things. And like you were about to say, dressed as Batman, much
when
like
he does
a way that you would help a 6-year-old not be afraid of going to the doctor.
Yeah,
you dress him as a superhero.
Yeah, exactly. And he's divulging these things to the therapist,
mm-hmm.
and the therapist is trying to get more. He's like, these people you've hurt, like, are they in the hospital or more? He's like, I have left a bit of a body count. He's mm-hmm. like, have you killed people? And because he's also telling a story about this girl he was in love with.
He was married to the daughter of a mobster. She was killed in an accident that was meant for me.
Yeah.
So
of course, a tale as old as time.
He went off on a warpath,
you
essentially.
You know, The Godfather.
Yeah. Yep.
Godfather.
First one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First when Michael is in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maxwell said he went off and killed the guy who did it and left a trail of bodies, and they said they couldn't prove anything. There's no trace. And the therapist is like, were you charged for this? He's like, well, like I said, there's no trace, and you know, it's been so long. And he's like, there's no statute of limitations on murder.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, is this a confession?
Yeah. And then they cut away, and my theory is that
they had to backtrack.
That like the producers and the filmmaker had to step in and be like, listen, you're telling us, you have to tell us this is not true, or else we can't continue with this. Like, that's my theory. And I'm pretty sure that probably happened. Was this like, listen, we can do it off camera, but you have to tell us you're making this up.
If you're not, we have to cut here.
Yeah.
And we have to like
turn you into the police.
Because if you're admitting to murders, we can't help you.
Yeah, exactly.
So essentially, that's the extent of Maxwell Allen.
Yeah, and
like,
also
in a nutshell.
Yeah, and one more thing, just an observation was he goes to the gun range at one point, and a gun goes off, and he flinches, but not in a way of someone who has PTSD, but in a way of someone who's never done it before, who's never been to a gun range, who's never been next to a gun that's firing before.
Yeah.
And so another little thing that I recognize, and I'm like, all his stories are bullshit.
Mm-hmm. You did say something about the etiquette of that Christopher Dennis points out that there's apparently an etiquette for the according to him, since mm-hmm. he's the quote unquote godfather of all this, there's an etiquette to being a superhero on the Walk of Fame.
He kind of, the newbies that come in, he kind of takes them under his cape, under his wing.
Yes, under his wing.
And there's a guy dressed with the leather jacket and a skull mask. He's supposed to be Ghost Rider. And mm-hmm. so, like, which you don't recognize Ghost Rider unless he's got flames coming out of the back of his head, which this guy obviously can't do.
Yeah.
And they're walking down the street and he's like giving them like the rules and stuff like that. And the guy's smoking a cigarette and he's like, also, while you're in character, no smoking. And he's like, you know, superheroes don't smoke. He's like, Ghost Rider does. He's like, no, Ghost Rider doesn't smoke, which it's like, you can't just say that. Yeah, like, if anyone's going to smoke, it's probably Ghost Rider. And he's like, he's made of fire. And he's like, well, you wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see Ghost Rider walking on the street smoking a cigarette, to which I said, you wouldn't see Superman walking on the street at all.
I got a good laugh out of that. You sent me that as you were watching it Sunday, and I was cracking up. I was like, very true.
Yes.
But also the quote unquote etiquette is there's it's a
completely made up.
Yeah, there's a spiel that you're supposed to say. We do work on tips. He's like, we don't work for tips. We accept tips. And then there's this woman who shows up in the reenactors mm-hmm. as Marilyn Monroe lamenting to him and the new Ghost Rider. She's like, I've been out here for an hour. I've taken like 10 pictures, not one tip. And he's like, well, they don't have to tip, which that pisses me off when people do that. Yeah. It's like, listen, I understand. However, when something like that is a courtesy mm-hmm. and you get like 10 or 15 people coming through not doing it, then I have the right to complain because it's kind of an unwritten courtesy.
Yeah. Well, and their agreement with the police that they can stay there is they cannot solicit photographs.
Yeah.
You can come up to them, but mm-hmm. they can't make you take pictures with them.
And obviously, like, tourists don't know that. So a tourist just sees it as, you know, it's no different than getting a picture with a statue.
Right.
But also it is one of those things sort of like, you can, I'm sure this woman said, I accept tips.
Yeah.
Now the little, that was my little diatribe on people being like,
Maxwell
Allen
gets very aggressive about it.
Yeah, he does.
Which that's where we see, okay, I can corroborate as an audience member that he has an anger
They
problem.
Show him being this snarky, like smart ass when people are not tipping. And he starts like yelling at them, and then they show him take his frustration out on other characters.
Yeah,
because like there's someone dressed as Spider-Man eating lunch across the street, and he starts yelling
on his break,
on his sure,
it's on his smoke break, on his lunch break.
These people,
as if he's employed, like, you make your own goddamn schedule.
On his break, sure. Listen, I also would like to say if one of these people's walking down the street smoking a cigarette in character, A, that's funny looking to me. And B, if they're not on the Walk of Fame, they're out of their parameters.
Yeah.
So like
the their quote unquote jurisdiction. As long as they're allowed to kind of do
what they
do.
I feel like some things are permissible. Now obviously you don't want to see someone dressed as Grimace getting a BJ from Pinhead from
I mean, now that you mention it,
you get my point. No? Yeah. You don't want to see a characters having sex with one another out in the open, you know, unless that's your thing.
Sure.
Anyway, either way, as far as social decorum goes, seeing a character smoking, it's whatever. Who cares? Yeah.
Also, I do want to note the theater does have a sign in front of it that they acknowledge it, but they're saying we do not associate ourselves with the characters on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, I can understand somewhere at Disneyland or Disney World where the cast members aren't allowed to
aggressively beg for tips.
or kids messing with Pluto and he runs after them.
Yeah,
one of my favorite videos.
It's a funny video.
Yeah. He's probably swearing at the kid under his mask, which is hilarious. Anyway, they don't have to give tips, or people don't have to give tips. However, it is a courtesy.
Yeah.
But early on, and then also kind of what he reiterates to this Marilyn Monroe is he's like, well, they don't have to give tip. He's like, and I make sure to tell people, you know, we don't work for tips. We accept tips.
Which I feel like is kind of semantics in a way.
Yeah, but it is. Later on in the documentary, we see him giving the same cadence of that spiel.
And we do work on tips.
But we do work on tips.
Like basically saying, you need to tip me for this.
Maxwell Allen is not ashamed to say. Now, he tries to be quote-unquote polite about it, but he's like, now, we do work on tips.
Yeah.
And but then Christopher Dennis, we see early in the documentary, say, you know, he does the – they have – momentary, they have moments where they show these talking heads, like interspliced and intermittent. We see talking heads where you see kind of what they're thinking about a situation, what they're thinking about their life as a whole, and blah blah blah. And in one of his talking heads, he says, "We don't work on tips, we accept tips." But then later on, he says in a talking head, "Now, okay, we do work on tips and blah 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 about like something different." And then we see him giving a spiel. He's like, "Now we do work on tips, we do work on tips." Yep. So which one is it?
Yeah.
So again, that's him trying to put up a facade
mm-hmm.
of being this nice guy, which I'm sure, again, sure he is the tourist, it seems like.
Sure.
But to other people walking, he seems like a passive.
To that old lady at the Superman celebration.
Yep.
Which we need to devote time to the Superman celebration.
Let's talk. We talked a little bit about Jennifer. She's kind of unremarkable. Like, but ironically, she's the one who actually has a career after
this. Very, very quick. She grew up in a small Tennessee town where both parents were involved in the community. Dad was more focused on her mistakes because he's a restrictive pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But her mom is great.
Yeah.
She's very loving, accepted her daughter, and actually devoted time to getting to know her.
Yeah.
She's the one that encouraged her to follow her dreams and mm-hmm. go to LA.
Mm-hmm.
Once she got to LA, she got married 2 weeks after meeting her boyfriend. And like we said, she goes on auditions mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
And we see kind of in her story, we see kind of her marital troubles and problems after
she wanted to get out of her small town.
Yeah,
and like
it's
that.
Essentially like rebelling against this whole small town ideal of what you should be, who you should be.
Yeah.
And she did that by going to Hollywood. She did that by eloping with essentially a stranger.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, it's problematic 2 years later because the honeymoon stage is over.
Do you want me to get my blurbs on Joseph and we can touch on him for a little bit?
Joe McQueen is my favorite.
Because the talking points are Maxwell Allen and Christopher Dennis.
Yeah, we could go on and on. The entire episode could be devoted to the antics of those two.
Yeah, but Joseph McQueen is my absolute favorite.
He's great.
Yeah.
He seems like a very kind-hearted, sweet guy who he recognizes.
He's very optimistic. He's a good attitude.
Exactly. We see his apartment is very bare bones. However, I am like, you know what, man? Because his bed is a mattress on the ground, which also acts as his couch. And he has
an apartment.
He has an apartment. Yeah, considering he was homeless for like 6 years.
Yeah. He came to L.A. during the Rodney King riots. Yeah. He's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
He retreated to the mountains like mm-hmm. behind the Hollywood sign.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to get involved. He's mm-hmm. like, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
He was homeless for a stretch. Every time they show his talking heads in his apartment, I'm like, good for you, man.
Man, I love Joe, you're great.
Yeah.
And also what appeals to us, he seems like he's a big wrestling fan. He's a lot of like signed wrestling memorabilia around.
But he's living in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a roof over his head.
Seems like that's all he needs.
He's actively going on auditions, trying to book roles. He's the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a very gaudy Hulk costume on, but it's fine.
It's fine.
He's really cool. He's really likable. Again, he's homeless for a while, has an apartment, good attitude. And then later on in the movie, he books a role in an indie kung fu spoof.
He's the only one we see book anything in as far as in the duration of the documentary.
Yeah.
Now, again, like I said, Jennifer, Wonder Woman, which there's a lot of problematic, at least not with her, but with like, of course, her objectification, because there's footage and a lot of still shots of her like
getting ogled.
You know,
which she's probably like, oh, you know, whatever. If they pay me, it's part of the job.
Yeah,
she kind of takes it in stride.
I'm not saying it's acceptable. It's one of those things where you also are like, I don't want you to be okay with that though. But again, I can't control somebody's life. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she actually has gone on to do roles in various things, both indie and kind of mainstream.
Yeah.
One of the ways that happened was she married, like we said earlier in the episode.
I wonder how he found her, because I think she did some stuff before they were even married.
She was on episodes of things and they probably crossed paths. Casper Van Dien.
They probably did a B movie together.
Yeah. Casper Van Dien, who we mentioned earlier, he's in Starship Troopers.
A straight to video movie.
Yeah. He gets a lot of roles. He has been in a lot of mainstream things.
Yeah.
But he's a well-known actor, especially like if you go to a convention, he's probably done more than his fair share of conventions.
Oh yeah, just for like the B science fiction movies, the straight to video stuff.
If he were a better actor, would be a leading man.
Very much a cult hero, similar to Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much a Bruce Campbell-esque type guy. But she married him.
Yeah.
And they're still married to this day. And she's worked on a lot of the stuff that he's probably executive produced, that he starred in.
Right.
Which, whatever. She's gotten work. Yeah. She seems like she's living a good life. And then also, there's not a whole lot on social media with Joe McQueen. The last time he updated his Instagram was 2015. He does have a Facebook, and it looks like he has a job.
Nice.
So he's a solid job.
Nice.
He has film credits. Yeah. Again, it's like little known stuff.
Yeah.
I want to say he maybe like works at a grocery store.
Yeah.
But he was an essential worker during COVID.
Nice.
So like, seems like he's making it happen for himself, at least giving himself a solid living situation in California.
Yeah.
So the two people that were the most likable, no matter how you felt about Jennifer, you know, she seemed fine.
Yeah.
She seems nice.
Actually motivated.
Yeah. Joe, the one we actually really like, the most likable guy. The two people who were putting the work in to do stuff actually did stuff.
Yeah.
And then in
Fancy
a way
that.
And then also Joe is living out in California still.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like he's making a living somehow.
Nice.
Jennifer still does movies.
Yeah.
She's married to somebody who, you know, I'm sure they both have money. They both seem happy. Maxwell Allen, I have no clue where he's at.
I don't know what's going on.
Don't know where he's at. And Christopher Dennis is dead.
Unfortunately,
he passed away.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sound cold there.
Yeah,
it's
Maxwell Allen has a film credit, though.
The one shown in the documentary is not on IMDb. There's another one on IMDb. And that's the only one.
It almost feels like it was like film school. It's so cheap quality, like indie film. Like someone literally just had a camera and knew some people. And it's supposed to be like a hood / thug type gangsta movie and stuff like that. And he's supposed to be like the token white,
like
kind of villain that facilitates all the drug deals and stuff.
It's called Who's Making the Rules?
Yeah. And the dialogue and acting is awful.
It's bad. I mean, if anything was written at all, like the scene they show, there's stuff that, that's probably written. And then there's stuff that the two people he's talking to, they're just ad-libbing.
He's like, well, what do you think of this?
He's like, suck on this. And he pulls out a big Glock.
And he's smiling.
It looks like a blooper.
Yeah, like, and the people surrounding him put guns to his face, and it's smiling, looking like a blooper. It looks like something from 30 Rock. Like it's like that time I was in that one movie, and they flash, and it's like, and it's Jack McBrayer's character, and he's like,
suck on this.
And he's like smiling.
Like, that tickles.
It's like, Jack, you have,
it's like, and like, it's like .com as the director, and he's like, Jack, you have to stop smiling. Or Kenneth, you have to stop smiling.
Yeah. But that was the take they used.
Yeah.
So it's very, very silly.
Mm-hmm. So we won't talk a whole lot more about like Joe McQueen and Jennifer Wanger because they ended up okay.
Yeah.
It's Maxwell Allen, we don't know his whereabouts. And then Christopher Dennis, unfortunately, passed away homeless and addicted to crystal meth.
We'll round it out talking about Metropolis, Illinois, and the Superman celebration.
Yeah, so let's talk about that because that's like the third act of the movie.
Yeah, and so it's shortly after Christopher Reeve passed away. He decides, like, I need to go to the Superman celebration because Metropolis, Illinois has like the Superman statue, has the Superman museum. It's lauded as the home of Superman, even though there's nothing tying Superman to Metropolis, Illinois. It's just, this city in Illinois happens to be called Metropolis.
It would make sense, considering it's so rural, it would make sense if it were like Metropolis, Kansas.
Yeah.
Because at least you have half of it right.
Yeah, because it's like, you can't even say, oh, well, like, it's Kansas, and Superman in the comics grew up in Kansas. It's like, no, Metropolis in the comics is a fictional place.
Right.
That the creators of Superman said that they based the skyline off Toronto and they based the city itself off New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fictional. It's it's a mixture of two different big cities.
Yeah.
So, and why would a Metropolis in the comics apply to Metropolis, Illinois when it's a small town that basically is...
Okay.
Oh yeah, no, sorry. I got distracted. I got a notification on my phone. The only connection is that it's called Metropolis. It's a small town of like 6,500 people.
Yeah.
So it's just, and they interview a few of these people, and these people are idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they are,
and racist.
And racist.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, it's one of those things where you listen to them, like, not all of you are dumb, but they're clearly Southern, like, redneck types.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things to where Metropolis, Illinois is just, it's stupid.
I wasn't, I wasn't making a blanket statement about folks in rural Illinois.
No,
no. No, the person they interviewed said something racist.
Was a racist.
Yeah.
He said something racist. And it wasn't misconstrued. He said something racist.
Yeah.
He said, this is happening is because this bad thing is happening in our town because a certain group of people moved in here.
Exactly. But I think to address the whole Metropolis being in rural Illinois thing, it's obviously somebody one day said, Metropolis, like the Superman comics, we need to make this town somewhere tourists can stop by on their way to the Nashvilles and Kentuckys and everything. And then,
and
so,
it's cool. I like it.
We've driven through Metropolis, Illinois several times.
Yeah.
Our grandparents used to live in Nashville. Like the first 12 years of our life, we made yearly trips to Nashville, sometimes a couple times a year. But we made trips to Nashville often. So maybe half to three quarters of the time we would drive through Metropolis, Illinois, and we'd see the Superman stuff. Now, we didn't get to go to the quote unquote museum that's there,
right,
which is super cool. But we did see the statue. There's a really cool looking statue.
Which, speaking of, as of today, there was a lot of wind last night, and the wind was so bad there that it blew the head off the Superman statue.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so saw that today, and I think they're like trying to find it. And that's the thing. They blew it off. It blew it off, and I don't think they know where it is.
Wow.
So they'll find it and reattach it. Mm. But all that to say, Metropolis, Illinois has a lot of Superman.
Yeah.
Not decolletage. That's just not what I think it is.
Paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia. No. It is an ode to Superman.
Yeah.
It is not the home of Superman, though. I got on my soapbox there. Anyway, they go to the Superman celebration.
Right. Him and his.
Bonnie, his girlfriend,
who became his fiance, who at the end they show them getting married, who looks like she was a member of the Manson family.
Yes, exactly.
However, I will say she seems like she's really sweet, too. She seems really smart. She's getting, and at this time, she's getting her graduate
doctorate in psychology. Which she gets made fun of from people when she talks about the nature of Christopher Dennis and who she's dating.
And then
like
I happened upon her Instagram the other day, and she still seems like she was very much in love with Christopher Dennis, although they were divorced years before he passed away.
Sure.
She really wants to remember him and really make him seem like a positive figure to a lot of people. Yeah. So she seems like she's really nice too.
But
she seems really nice in the documentary. That doesn't mean she doesn't look like a member of the Manson family. Well, however,
and he's trying to get her to look like Crystal Gayle from the 70s.
Yeah, which, you know, she likes him looking like Christopher Reeve. She likes him, or he likes her looking like Crystal Gayle. Neither one of them like each other for who they are. Whatever.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding.
It is what it is.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, he's like, you know, we haven't been to Metropolis in years.
Right.
And on the heels of Christopher Reeve dying, and I look like Christopher Reeve.
All right.
I'm hoping to win this costume contest. Margot Kidder is there.
Yeah, Lois Lane.
Lois Lane from
four
the
Christopher or the four
the original Superman
movies.
And basically, it's just chronicling their whereabouts in Metropolis. He doesn't even place in the costume contest, which I think is hilarious.
I think the guy. I will say here's one of my gripes.
Yeah.
So there are people on there who obviously have shitty costumes.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't place.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Christopher should have at least maybe gotten third place. I don't know.
Honestly, in his costume is movie accurate.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. So, whatever, recency bias, whatever you want to call it. There's a guy up there with a badass Batman costume.
Yeah.
He doesn't place at all. People who place...
in honor of Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, exactly. Someone with a pretty cool Spider-Man costume. The person who wins, he has to have been like a big wig of the town, or he
has to be some sort of booster. He has to have been some sort of family member.
He's this guy in a Batman costume with a pot belly.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just want to thank you all for voting for me. And I was like, this is rigged.
Yeah. He must, it has to be.
He must like be a booster for this Superman celebration.
Yeah. He's probably, I bet one of the rules is no out of towners get to win.
No out of townies.
Yeah, exactly. No out of townies, just the townies.
Just the townies.
Yeah, in this home of Superman. Yeah. But there is one lady that we quote, that we would quote fairly often just in our everyday lives. Yeah. And it's this little short old lady that sees Christopher Dennis and is like,
Superman,
you're my hero. He's like, well, you're my hero.
It's like,
well, you're my hero too.
He's like, well, you're my hero. She's like,
well, you're my hero too.
Like, it's just very
seductive, which has become very, whenever we quote it with Jeremy Weed, who's been on the show, I don't care to count how many times.
Yeah, eight or something. Yeah.
On this show. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we introduced him to that quote. He's never seen the documentary, but we introduced him to that moment, and it became more exaggerated, and eventually just became Butterman.
Butterman,
you're my hero.
No, you're my hero too.
So it's ridiculous.
Dumb. It'll inside take there,
but that's essentially Confessions of a Superhero.
Yeah,
we were a little all over the place, but this documentary is kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's a documentary. Again, there's a loose narrative pinning everything together. Yep. Essentially what it is it's following, you know, over the 2 years that, you know, you're chronicling these people's lives.
It's following four people.
Yep.
Whether they meant to or not, they show two people who are delusional and two people who are actually who are out in California, like doing the legwork as well as they can. But it's four people who cross paths and
Who
are friends, quote unquote, friendly with one another.
They occupy the same strip.
Jennifer Van Deen. I'll say Jennifer Van Deen. On her Instagram, she paid tribute to Christopher Dennis a few months ago on his birthday or whatever.
Yeah.
And she said,
Superman's
birthday. Yeah, exactly. My friend, the dearly departed Christopher. And I was like, okay. So I think they actually were friends. Either way, they all work together. It's these four people in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Ghost Rider paid tribute to him.
Whatever.
Smoking a cigarette in your honor.
Fuck this brown noser.
Exactly.
But it's these people inside of this
fuck this brown nose.
This culture of people who occupy a certain block of Hollywood Boulevard and they all do the same thing. They're all connected through this. And it's the people who seem like they're the four most interesting.
Yeah.
It's showing their lives outside of it. You see their inner thoughts with how they feel about the quote-unquote job, how they feel about their lives, how they feel about they want their life to go, where it's been through these talking heads.
Yeah.
It's a documentary.
Yeah.
And it's an enjoyable documentary.
Yeah.
We gravitated towards it because if you didn't know by now, we're huge superhero fans.
Yeah.
And it's something we're like, what is this? Because on Netflix,
Confessions
when we first saw it, we're like, it gives a little blurb of what it's about.
Yeah.
And you're like,
shows you a couple thumbnails of scenes.
Yeah, we're like, and back before it started, just playing a scene, it was just like a slideshow of like scenes,
slideshow,
you know, like thumbnails of scenes. We're like, interesting. And then much like a lot of people do, you know, we go back to it every few years because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
We know what to expect. And also, we riff it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we will make fun of the scenario, and much like in with the delusion we talked about in Decline of the Western Civilization Part 2, there are a lot of interesting things about it. There are a lot of cautionary tales. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things to where you're
success stories, quote unquote,
things where you shake your head at. But at the end of the day, it's an enjoyable watch with a wild cast of characters.
Yeah. It is on Amazon Prime
to rent.
Yes.
It was like $5.99.
Yeah, I was
rent,
like, these used
which
to be $3.99.
Actually, we're trying to encourage people to watch it, and that may be a deterrent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'd like to fork over the $5.99 to rent it, or if for whatever reason you want to own it, it's $20 on Amazon.
Yeah.
You might be able to find the DVD somewhere.
I'm sure you
can
find it, like a V-Stock or Slacker.
Yeah,
or
but
I don't know.
Unfortunately, it's not. Well, it's on
Pluto TV.
Yeah, it's Pluto free is free. If you don't mind sitting through ads.
It's free on Pluto.
Yeah.
And maybe Tubi. But according
it's not on Tubi. Okay. I tried.
All right. Well, it's on Pluto TV. If you really want to watch it, it's free to sign up for Pluto. It's free to have Pluto.
Yeah.
You can watch it on Pluto with ads.
Yeah.
If you want to watch it without ads and for whatever reason pay
$6.
Rather pay money just to watch it without ads, $6.
Yeah. $15, little man. Put that shit in my hand.
anyway, yes. Yeah. But that was Confessions of a Superhero. Yep. Hopefully our rambling about it kind of entices you to go watch it, because it's good.
Yeah.
It's very good. I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you want us to talk about any more obscure kind of oddity type documentaries.
If you have one that's obscure.
If you have one that you have watched that maybe, you know, we
might like
it. Yeah, that we may like, you know, or shoot a message to us. We may be like, oh, I've watched that. I like it. Or I've never watched that before.
Yeah.
Again, we've named a few that we've watched a lot.
Yeah.
That we've seen a lot, and that we wouldn't mind talking about again, if you're interested.
Oh, yeah.
So, as always, thank you for listening. We love you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Do like we said earlier, give us reviews, anything to help that algorithm so people can see us. Yes. We can't wait, because we're going to be kicking off Martial Arts Month here. I know this is dropping on March 3rd.
Yeah.
So the very first weekend of March. However, we're so early in March, it doesn't freaking count. We're going to start off Martial Arts Month with Surf Ninjas, celebrating the 30th anniversary. Yep. Our mom, Samantha, our sister's 5th appearance.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a very special guest along with them.
Yep.
You will know when the episode drops.
Yeah.
But until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? See you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.